Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. On Tuesday, New Jersey Congressman Frank Pallone, Democrat, and the new chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee made some news on our program when he rejected the idea that his Democratic Energy Committee members, including himself as chairman, should shun contributions from fossil fuel companies. Now, in just a minute, we're going to get a response to that news from a co-founder of the Sunrise Movement, which promises the idea of a Green New Deal and has protested outside Congressman Pallone's office. To set this up, though, we're now going to replay the full three-minute exchange from Tuesday's program. I had just asked him about his decision to keep taking fossil fuels campaign donations, even though he now heads the committee that regulates energy.
I am not a person who advocates saying that, you're not going to take money from specific industries or specific people associated with industry. Let me give you an example. For example, I think that one of the charges was that, you shouldn't take money from utilities, right? Well, to be perfectly honest, some of the utilities in my district, which support me, are some of the best utilities in terms of moving towards green initiatives and, trying to get away from fossil fuels and encourage renewables. So I just think that, this idea that
But they may also have individual policies that they're trying to get through Congress or resist when Congress debates them, that would set up, especially now that you're chair of Energy and Commerce, a fundamental conflict of interest to be taking donations from that sector at all. Why wouldn't that be the case?
Well, the problem, Brian, is that, where do you draw the line? Okay, so does that mean that, somebody who works for the utility can't contribute to me? Or, for example, we have jurisdiction over health care. So does that mean hospitals can't contribute or doctors can't contribute or health insurance companies can't contribute? And then, we have jurisdiction over the Internet. Does that mean that nobody who's involved with Internet or software can contribute to me?
Well, I think the progressive wing is trying to draw the line at fossil fuel-related companies, and I guess that would include utility companies, because fossil fuel companies, they argue, should be seen as tobacco companies have been seen in the past, and you don't take contributions from tobacco companies, I presume.
I don't think that I've ever...
as a matter of policy.
I don't think I've ever drawn a line and said that just because someone or some company, has business before our committee, which 60% of the legislation in the House of Representatives comes before the committee, that person or corporate. Because I just think that if you start going down that road, then nobody can contribute to you. I mean, and that's ultimately where we go. Now, that doesn't mean to say that, I've been a big advocate for having a system where, you have a small contributions and the government matches the funds and, the government has limits on contributions. But to just say that, anybody who somehow does business with our committee can't contribute, I think that goes too far.
This is a big debate within the party, right? This is why people are getting primaried and going to get primaried, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't see it as much of a debate within the party.
So we're back live, and that was Congressman Frank Pallone from New Jersey, the new chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, on our program on Tuesday, stating at the end there that there's not much of a debate within the Democratic Party on the idea that Democrats shouldn't take money from fossil fuel companies. Now, this push to shun fossil fuels money was brought on largely by a grassroots movement called the Sunrise Movement, the same group that you may have heard protested at both Congressman Pallone's office and the office of House Minority Leader at the time, now the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, in December. And joining me now to talk about all of this and with a response to that interaction with the congressman is Varshini Prakash, co-founder of the Sunrise Movement. Varshini, thank you so much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian. It's a pleasure.
How much of that was new to you? How much were you surprised to hear Congressman Pallone say in that exchange?
I will say not so much was new, still felt just as shocking and frustrating. But we'd had almost a simultaneous, extremely similar conversation with him a few months back when we actually confronted him at his office asking why he was so vocally opposed to the Select Committee for a Green New Deal that Representative-elect at that time Ocasio-Cortez had put forward, and if his 100,000-plus donations from fossil fuel PACs in 2018 had anything to do with that.
What is the status of the Select New Deal? Well, there isn't a Green New Deal committee. I think this is where Pelosi drew the line. But
yes,
there is a new Select Committee on Climate Change.
Yes.
How fine a distinction is that for you? And how happy are you with the creation of a new Select Committee on Climate Change?
Well, we actually had put forward a Select Committee for a Green New Deal actually in response to Nancy Pelosi's announcement at reviving a 10-year-old Select Committee for on climate change that had existed a while back, that was largely for the purpose of studying and the impacts of the climate crisis and communicating them to the public. Obviously, we felt that in 2018, now 2019, that was absolutely insufficient. And we put forward the Select Committee for a Green New Deal. Now, when the House rules came out last week, we were pretty disappointed to see that all of the major provisions that we had asked for, that 45 other members of Congress had supported, that 200 organizations across the country had supported, that over 300 local officials had endorsed, did not make it in. We didn't see a mandate to actually draft a plan to study what it would look like to actually get our country transformed, every part of society and the economy in the next 12 years as the science demands. We didn't see the committee bar fossil fuel funded politicians from sitting on the committee, something that we see essentially as a conflict of interest, somebody taking money from the industries that are wrecking our future, pouring money and having the capacity to bribe the people who set climate policy. And the last thing, which is extremely frustrating, is that the committee doesn't actually have subpoena power. So that actually renders it even more ineffective than the one that was created 10 years ago.
We'll get into more details of the Green New Deal. A lot of people who have heard that term in the news recently don't know yet what that really means or what kind of legislation that would really produce. But I want to stay on that interaction with Congressman Pallone for just a couple of minutes more. We also want to open up the phones. Listeners, if you've been following the development of the Sunrise Movement or just want to react to anything you're hearing here with co-founder Varshini Prakash or the exchange with Congressman Pallone, 212-433-WNYC is our phone number, 212-433-9692, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. So he argued in that exchange that it's a slippery slope. If they say no fossil fuels money today, then there are other industries that the Energy and Commerce Committee also, regulates or oversees as a House committee. And where do you draw the line? He asked. Soon they won't be able to take money from anybody, was his complaint. And somebody else backing him up said it would be unilateral disarmament for the Democrats to do that when you know the Republicans are going to keep taking all kinds of corporate money. What's your response to that?
Sure. Well, I don't really buy that argument. What is so wrong about asking politicians to remove the golden handcuffs from oil and gas CEOs and lobbyists that actually constrain our leaders' ability to work on the issues that matter to Americans at their greatest capacity. Part of this exchange was saying, you know, I think if you went down that road, nobody can contribute to you. But we've seen in this last election cycle that over 1,300 candidates actually signed the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge, which asks politicians to reject money from oil and gas executives, lobbyists, and front groups and PACs. And we've seen that 34 of Pallone's colleagues in the House have even signed the pledge. And we do see that some of the, I don't think it's any surprise that the new freshmen who are pushing the most ambitious climate legislation that's actually the most in line with what the science calls for and tells us is necessary are people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, Ilhan Omar, all people who without hesitation signed the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge within days or weeks of launching their congressional campaigns. And I don't know, in this exchange, I got to be real, he really did make it seem like his only friends were fossil fuel billionaires and CEOs of major companies. If you don't have people that you can actually rely on to support and fund you, maybe he needs to be spending a little bit more time listening to the American people and not in private meetings and communication with the wealthiest people in this country. I think we've seen a lot of people come out, like many people in this country do not support the role that corporate money in politics has played. A majority of young people do not like the way in which fossil fuel companies have been able to, for the last 40 and 50 years, spend billions of dollars misleading the public on the science, misinforming the public on the science when they realize that it would affect their bottom line. And they've spent billions of dollars lobbying Congress and buying out politicians of both political parties to do their bidding.
And my understanding is there's a real history here with this committee in particular, the House Energy and Commerce Committee that Congressman Pallone now heads with Democratic control and with his seniority there. This committee has the broadest jurisdiction of any congressional committee in terms of the kinds of industries that it oversees, not just environment but and energy, but also related to consumer protection, food and drug safety, telecommunications. So I think the internet giants are, in the jurisdiction of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. And it's become a campaign finance and cash cow for members of both parties. So many of these industries give to people who are on the Energy and Commerce Committee, and then they spread that money around. And that money that comes through the members of Energy and Commerce gets used to help finance the campaigns of many Democratic and Republican candidates for the House. So in that context, where should Democrats draw the line, in your opinion? Should it be only at fossil fuels? I understand the reason for singling out fossil fuels, but do you also want to go further and say, you also shouldn't take money from internet companies, or you also shouldn't take money from food manufacturers who do business across state lines and therefore come under your committee's jurisdiction? How far do you go, or do you want to go?
Sure. Well, I think it's actually interesting what he said at the end there about there not being a debate about this within the Democratic Party. And I fully think that that is untrue. And some of the most inspiring, people-powered, values-driven candidates who won elections in 2018 were people who have completely sworn off corporate PAC money, who raised all of their money through small dollar donations and did so to communicate a value system that is based in representing the many over representing the interests of the few. And I think we've saw that with people like Ayanna Pressley, who actually represents me where I live in Massachusetts, that we saw that she was willing to go out on a limb and take a moral stance on the issue of perhaps taking the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge and actually pushing for 100% renewable energy by 2035 while her incumbent opponent was not. So I think there's a really vibrant conversation that is happening right now. And I think that if any politician, especially any Democrat, wants to remain relevant and garner the energy, the votes, the passion of young people in America in this political moment, they would do well to take the no fossil fuel money pledge and back a Green New Deal.
When Congressman Pallone said that about it not being much of a debate within the party, it was a response to my question about, isn't this why some Democrats are getting primaried and going to get primaried? Are you already looking to recruit somebody to primary Congressman Pallone on this basis in 2020?
Not yet. We haven't, you know, fully ruled it out, but we are definitely taking his inability to take the no fossil fuel money pledge and not actually championing a Green New Deal as an indication that maybe he doesn't actually care about stopping the climate crisis at the speed and scale that our generation needs to survive and live out our years in peace and dignity.
Let's take some phone calls. Anna in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anna.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Great. I had one question initially, and another one came up. So you sort of made the tobacco analogy at the beginning, Brian, particularly given Bill McKibben's piece in The New Yorker a couple months ago is just one of many examples of really thorough documentation of the deception from the fossil fuel, by the fossil fuel industry, this deliberate undermining of fact and truth. I think it just bears repeating that it's mind-boggling that somebody could, you know, somebody sitting on an energy committee taking fossil fuel money seems indistinguishable from somebody sitting on a lung cancer committee taking tobacco money. So it's amazing. But I also have a question for your guest, and thank you so much for being there. So I'd seen when the Green New Deal was being proposed and being talked about a lot that some people saying even if this doesn't go through, someone should really take up this mantle and do the real policy work and the real research to take this from an amazing idea to like actual practical, here's how we will implement it so that there is still a platform that we, you know, early 2020, politicians can be pressed to sign on to. Do you actually support this? So my question to you is, are there people doing that work, even if it's not happening in a select committee for the Green New Deal in the House right now?
Go ahead, Vashni.
Yes, great question. Thank you so much and for your comment as well. We are absolutely carrying this forward in 2019. And actually, we're doing it at sunrise. So the fight is not over after the Select Committee for a Green New Deal wasn't created. We are going to be spending, in fact, just yesterday night, we had over 1,200 young people on a mass call to unveil our 2019 strategy. So we're going to be spending the first few months of 2019 really bringing the Green New Deal beyond the Beltway and bringing it into the hearts and minds of community members across America, especially in places that have been directly impacted by the climate crisis, Kentucky, Florida, California, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and more. We're going to be launching a 15-city massive tour that's going to include some of the fresh faces of the new Democratic Party. That's going to include movement leaders and artists and more. And we're actually going to be bringing the campaign for a Green New Deal to offer tools and resources for people all across America to run a campaign for a Green New Deal in their own communities and get federal policymakers to back the substance of it. And a lot of the reason for this is that 80%, there was a poll that came out a few weeks ago by Yale that said that 80% of Americans don't actually have heard of a Green New Deal or don't know what it is. But then when you explain what a Green New Deal is to them, they support it in super majorities. This is 92% of Democrats support a Green New Deal, and 57% of self-identified conservative Republicans support it as well. So that's the first thing happening. Check out sunrisemovement.org for further details and how you can go to a tour stop near you. And then we'll be pushing for climate change, a Green New Deal, to be a central conversation in the presidential primary, the presidential debate that is happening, that's going to be starting in June and continuing, you know, every month, every day of our lives through 2020. But we're really working to force a race to the tops around what climate ambition looks like in this country, and pushing every presidential candidate we can to really back and support a Green New Deal.
When you talk about Green New Deal ideas having supermajority support, tell me if you think that includes this. Obviously, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is one of the supporters in Congress of Green New Deal legislation. And here's part of the exchange that she had about that with Anderson Cooper on 60 Minutes on Sunday. This begins with his question.
You're talking about zero carbon emissions, no use of fossil fuels within 12 years?
That is the goal. It's ambitious. And
how is that possible? You're talking about everybody having to drive an electric car?
It's going to require a lot of rapid change that we don't even conceive as possible right now. What is the problem with trying to push our technological capacities to the furthest extent possible?
This would require, though, raising taxes.
There's an element where, yeah, there people are going to have to start paying their fair share in taxes.
So do you think there's supermajority support for banning fossil fuels within 12 years, the speed of the disruption that that would cause in people's lives, given what, you know, how we get our energy today, more or less in America, and a tax hike to go with it?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, the poll that was done a few weeks ago actually included verbatim Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Select Committee for a Green New Deal resolution language. So within that, it talks about a Green New Deal as sort of an umbrella term for a set of policies and programs that transition America off fossil fuels fast, create millions of jobs, et cetera, all to get to 100% renewable energy in the next 12 years. And within those things include something like a federal jobs guarantee that would guarantee a job to any American who wanted or needed one doing the vital work of cleaning up our environment and averting climate catastrophe. It involves massive investment in communities that are on the front lines of poverty and pollution, low-income communities, communities of color. A great example in New York State is the CCIA and the CCPA that are some of the most ambitious statewide legislation that I think gets at a lot of the things included in the Green New Deal. So we actually saw that even with those provisions, a majority of Republicans support a Green New Deal. And I actually think that Republican elites in Congress and in the halls of power are far, far behind their constituent base.
Alan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Varshini Prakash, co-founder of the Sunrise Movement, promoting a Green New Deal. Hi, Alan.
Good morning. Well, anybody who knows that I've talked on this show too often over the last few years knows that I'm anything but an opponent of reform on climate and environmental issues. That's my pet interest. And in that context, I have to say that I've known Frank Pallone for about 40 years because we were in law school together at Rutgers. He was a member of the student government leadership. He was active in New Jersey Public Interest Research Group from the very start. That's who he is. He's been very active on promoting reform on climate policy over the years and very hardworking. He keeps his nose to the grindstone. He's never been a grandstander. He's never been someone who gets in front of a camera just to get attention or name recognition, but he's a hardworking, conscientious, honest public servant, and he has been for over 30 years. So my advice here is let's not eat our young and let's not consume the best of our old either. We can't form a circular firing squad in the Democratic Party and allow our desire to move in the direction of AOC, which I favor, and more aggressive climate protection by targeting the very people who are the best we have among the ranks of our incumbents.
Alan, let me get a response. And Varshini, in fairness to Congressman Pallone, he also talked in that interview about pro-environment climate change legislation that he supports and hearings that he's going to hold fossil fuel companies and other polluters accountable. So what do you say to Alan's points in general and in particular, if Pallone has been on the right side of all the issues as they've come up, then how much do you want to make him a target?
Sure. I really appreciate what you're saying, and thanks for your comments. I think Representative Pallone has had 40 years in service, and that has been, I'm really grateful for his leadership in that way. What I will say is that I think we actually need to start holding some lines as a society. And it's right now, my generation, we don't have 40 years in public service to wait. We don't have 20, 30 years to wait before this climate crisis strikes home. It's already hitting us. Last year was the costliest year on record when it came to disasters. We saw almost 5,000 people die in Hurricane Maria. We don't have the time to be waiting and resting on our laurels before we take decisive action. And with all due respect, I think holding hearings and raising awareness about the climate crisis in 2019, when we have just about or less than a decade left to mobilize all of our resources, personnel, et cetera, to stop this crisis is completely insufficient. And so I do think that there's a lot that Representative Pallone can do right now. I would love to see if he's interested in creating a plan around a Green New Deal within energy and commerce. And I think it would show a lot of courage and moral clarity for him to sign the No Fossil Fuel Money pledge or something to that effect. But so far, we haven't seen the kind of courage that we need from him in this moment. And I know that a lot of people in my generation and my movement are feeling really frustrated by that. And the other thing I'll say is,
let me just so I can let you finish this with fullness. I have to sneak in my legal ID here so the FCC doesn't pounce on us. This is WNYC FM HDNA in New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio. As we finish up with Varshini Prakash, co-founder of the Sunrise Movement. And go ahead, forgive me, go ahead and finish that answer.
Sure. Well, so what I was going to say is I think all of the things that we're talking about around including climate provisions in the infrastructure package, federal oversight on all of the terrible things that Trump is doing right now, like repealing the Clean Power Plan and getting us out of the Paris Agreement, et cetera, all of those are really, really great things to be doing. At the same time, it's not going to be enough. And if we continue to play defense forever, we're going to continue to lose ground. I don't think it's an either or situation. I think it's a yes and situation. And frankly, I don't believe that there is a real legislative pathway in the 116th Congress to create the kind of substantive climate policy that will actually work to avert catastrophe. And if that's the case, then now is the time more than ever to actually fully build the political and public consensus around the true solutions to the climate crisis so that when we get our opening and our moment a year or two down the road when we're able to replace Trump and we're able to kick out fossil fuel funded climate obstructionists in Congress, that we can actually pass the real kind of policy that we need and not just start from scratch in that moment. So I really appreciate your comment. And I think we need to do a lot more as a public and a people.
Varshini Prakash, co-founder of the Sunrise Movement. Thanks so much for coming on today. And let's keep talking as the Congress really gets going.
Thank you, Brian.